Welcome back to the one and only Taking and Scene podcast. Woo-hoo. I am Warm Orange, joined here by two really awesome people.
I'm Mango Sorbet.
And I am Denzel Darko.
Yes, yes. And we're here to talk about a really interesting thing about kink in the digital age. I just want to throw it out there because I originally wanted this to be like digital and kink, but that kind of sounded like you're talking about cybering, which cybering is the act of doing sex stuff over the internet. It's a really weird word.
I don't think anyone's called it cybering for a few like years.
Cybering sounds like a...
Cybering.
It sounds like a psychic. I don't even know.
Yes.
Something that has to do with a psychic.
A medium fucking orgasm. Your dead husband.
Yeah, like I bite into my orange and I'm about to go cybering.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, we have
tell us more about this.
Yeah, about cybering?
No.
Okay, so cybering back in the... Oh, okay. But yeah, the main thing is just like kink in the digital age because we live in a digital world and through things like technology and also through things like COVID, we've become more and more connected as a society. So one of the things I kind of want to at least start off with is just talking about like social media's dual existence in connecting all of us and also causing a lot of problems.
Yeah, I mean... With social media, there's disconnection and connection in the same conversation, in the same post, in the same tweet, like, what
same
have you.
Breath.
Yeah, in the same breath. I mean, like, and much like other times, I'm not coming on one side or the other of, like, is social media good or bad? Because there are times when it's amazing and there are times when it's really crappy.
Right, right.
But yeah, tons of connection, tons of disconnection.
Well, and I was going to ask Denzel, like, because I know you do some of your poetry stuff, like you perform and sometimes they put your posts and stuff up there. Like, yes, it's not kink specific, but social media as a messaging platform, it's useful, right?
Yeah. I mean, it really does go two ways and I'm thinking of it like, yeah, as a person in 2023, but I'm also thinking of it as a person in 2023 in a sense of like social, like maybe social media is a new word that we've been using in our generation, but I'm thinking about like social technology.
Oh, okay.
Like television, radio.
Right. Or newspaper ads.
Yeah, newspaper, streaming services. All those have been forms of social technology which have upped the ability for us to access communication, but only with social media is there the option for the immediate
person
response back.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Not I have to wait for the next newspaper,
right.
Or I have to wait for the next episode. So when you've, for a long time, I mean, anybody who's listening to the podcast, like more often than not, like, you experienced an era where social technology was still one-sided and we've been conditioned to learn how to have the both-sided discussion nowadays.
And it's such a good point, Denzel, because on the one hand, when you have person-to-person, the ability to communicate person-to-person with friends and strangers, you both create more opportunities for information sharing and also more opportunities for misinformation sharing.
Also discourse.
And discourse. Yeah. You know, like, again, it's neither good nor bad. It sort of is what we make it. But I will say, like, so a big, our listeners probably already know, but a big platform for kink social media is FetLife.
FetLife.
And whether you like FetLife or not, if you're on FetLife, and like lots of people have complaints about aspects of FetLife, everything from its functionality to how people connect over FetLife. But like, it has some great things about it. One of them is that people get to share their ideas or their thoughts in what is, you know, more of a safe space to share your thoughts on kink than, say, Instagram.
Absolutely.
But like, I just had a thought as y'all were talking about, like, you know, more access to discourse, that I remember one guy was posting about how often he gets his STI tests, which, you know, I'm a big fan of.
Right.
And in his post, he was saying, like, yeah, and I order this test from online where I can do HPV testing. And keep in mind, this is a penis wielder.
Like self-testing?
Yeah. Okay. And so it's what I commented was like, that is, it doesn't exist.
It's not a thing.
Person right. with a penis cannot test either themselves or in a medical facility for HPV. And he was like, no, it's real. Why would they say it if it wasn't real? And I'm like,
the internet said
it's snake oil. It's they're giving you false hope.
Right.
And now you're spreading misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him in no uncertain terms, like, you need to change as part of your post.
Right.
You're a person with some amount of reach.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is straight up wrong.
Right. It's false. Well, and I think some people get very defensive. I mean, as people might say, I feel attacked, but
I'm telling them they're wrong. People hate being wrong.
Well, but I would like to, hopefully, at least for listeners and also everybody else who ever hears this podcast, well, listeners. it's less of a situation of you got called out, feel bad. It's more of a, now that you know better, do better.
Right.
So like, for that person, hopefully that person did better, or did they?
I think he changed his post to say, I forget exactly what he said. He didn't walk it back all the way.
Okay.
Which I was disappointed in.
Yeah.
Especially because someone I like love and am close to asked me, like, oh my God, I saw that there's a test for men. And I was like, if there were a test for people with penises for HPV, it would be the biggest public health news in the last 10 years. Like, it would be everywhere. Public health.
I mean, in our current political climate with Christian fundamentalists doing nonsense, maybe
I'm just saying I would. I'm a public health person. I would know about it.
Okay.
Not trying to toot my own horn, but toot, I would know about it. Just saying. Yeah. Tootly toot.
Tootly toot.
Exactly.
That's. I mean, that kind of speaks to the reach of social media. But like, before we get a little bit into that one, because that's like the freedom.
Yeah, I dove way into the weeds right away. Sorry about that.
just like. There's another part of it too, because like there's some, I guess the fear that person might have. They might say, oh, you're just trying to oppress my view or something like that. But even then, if you talk about the caretakers in general, like there's some arbitrary rules placed. If like, so FetLife, using that as an example, you're not allowed to show blood. And I understand why.
Yeah.
Same thing for vomit and stuff. Like you have to keep that friends only. And it's like, I understand why. Like for me personally, I am very vomit averse as a person. So like if I see vomit, it just kind of ruins my appetite for a while and I don't feel too comfortable. But if I see it, it's like, okay, move on. But for some people, it's just like, if they see blood, like they'll faint, or they see blood, they'll like, you know, have some visceral reaction. And I can understand why those rules are there. But then there's the other side of like, what if that's my kink?
And also, go ahead, Denzel. Yeah.
I think for some of those things, and I'm just speaking on my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it could fall into broader categories than just kink.
Oh, okay, fair.
I know all of it does, but they might teeter. Like when I think of blood, I think of biology, I think of biohazard, like contamination.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think of violence, like
fair.
There's blood has so many other symbolic references that when you present it on social media, the symbolism of blood might be attributed to something else, as opposed to like in this scene, yes, I am just dripping blood because I consensually asked for needles in here.
Right.
And we can know that by looking at the social media post, but like the general person, if it exists out there, or like the algorithm or the parameters and the terms and conditions that the website has to follow in order to still remain a website that, because that's the thing that we don't always think about, is like, what are the rules and regulations that FetLife also has to follow?
I guess my question, and maybe Orange, you can confirm this. I'm wondering if Orange, you're asking, where is the line?
Well,
because FetLife drew a line at things like blood and vomit, but didn't draw a line at things like other forms of violence, clear evidence of other forms of violence.
I mean,
like it doesn't draw a line at urine. It doesn't draw a line. I don't think it draws a line.
No, but something like OnlyFans, which is not FetLife, does. It's like squirt is allowed, but pee is not. It's like
OnlyFans is weird,
right? But it's one. It's another social.
If we want to jump to OnlyFans, we can jump to OnlyFans. OnlyFans. Let's save that maybe.
In a few moments, yes. But also, just to kind of answer your question, I was speaking more so from the perspective of like the arbitrary rules that platforms can sometimes put. But then going to what Denzel is bringing up and going to what you're bringing up, that's like another it's like budding another conversation right. about like, where do you draw the line? Where do communities draw the line? Because right. I mean, to some people, looking at hentai that features young looking bodies is too far.
That's a good point.
And for some, mm-hmm. for other people, it's like, that's not the same as.
And I guess the question is, when you enter into FET, are right. you entering, are you giving consent to see mm-hmm. any and everything?
Absolutely.
But apparently not blood.
Apparently not blood. Right. Where do you draw the line? Going to what Matt was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess it is that like, whenever we go on a website, whenever we do that, there's usually that acceptance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, if you enter this space, you are agreeing to follow all of our rules.
I mean,
and some of our rules might make complete sense and are like, wow, those are really great rules. I'm glad that you have those in place. And sometimes we show up to venues and spaces where we're like, wow, I can't believe you have that rule or that belief, but I guess it's still better to be here than to not have a place at all, even though in this place I'm not able to.
I mean, I do agree with you. I do feel that way about FET, but like I'm thinking about things like Instagram, for instance, has so many rules about what you can and can't post.
Mm-hmm. Or it's right, like just narrowing it down to a very small thing, nipples in general. If you're breastfeeding, it's okay.
I mean,
if it's an art exhibit, it's okay. But if you're a person who looks curvy and you have nipples showing through your shirt, Instagram will literally take down your entire
account. I tried to write on one of my Instagram stories once, like serving cunt.
Mm-hmm.
And it before I posted it, it was like, you may have said a word that would make us take your story down. Do you still want to post it?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, wow.
Like, first of all, in my mind, I'm like, I can say cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
So I spelled it like scent sign, UNT. But like, I was like, excuse me, this is not violent language.
Right, right.
I will also say, like on Instagram, if I'm going to talk about a subject that is hard for some people to hear, even though they've come to Instagram and presumably consented to seeing anything that's on Instagram, I still like to give like content warnings.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I love that, but we also have to acknowledge that like content warnings is still a relatively new approach.
Yes.
Like
relatively
we didn't
new.
We grew up in the '90s.
Yeah.
Like imagine so many things needed a content warning in the '90s. And we lived like matured into human beings.
Can you imagine some of the TV shows like
Ren and Stimpy?
I mean, but like even I've been thinking a lot recently about America's Next Top Model.
America's Next Top Model.
There are multiple episodes, not just one, but multiple episodes where Tyra makes the models put on like different race faces. Fully black face, fully brown face.
Oh wow.
Multiple, not one time. This wasn't like one time and then Tyra's like, oh fuck.
Right.
This happened over many episodes and I'm like, whoa, that was today.
And then like you have to consider another thing too, and this is like, you know, a slight tangent, but we'll go back on track in a second.
Social it's just technology, like still looking the same into the thing.
Yeah.
Well, look into the times, because there's always an argument about you have to consider the times, what's going on. Doesn't make it right. Does not make it right.
I sort of hate that argument because.
But the reason why I bring it up though is because like it's usually the Mott and Bailey defense. So basically, the Mott and Bailey, it's like a very bad argument, and then when you call somebody on that argument, they go into the defensive position that's like hard to go against. Like, well, you have to consider the times as a shitty argument.
Right.
But then if you dig down into it, what they're really trying to say is that if you judge yesterday by today's lens, then it's going to be unfair to yesterday, which is true. Still a stupid argument, but true.
I do not like that argument when people say like, look at the times, because I'm like, well, it sort of makes this whole conversation moot. It like,
it
takes away my ability to say something was wrong.
Right.
Yeah, it could go two ways, because some people just use it as a lazy excuse.
Right.
But then other times it's like, no, you're right. There is a lot of context we have to incorporate into the understanding. But
yeah,
right.
Context is great. But like, let's keep discussing how that thing was wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. So probably shift it from instead of consider the times, more like consider the context, and then also talk about how shitty that was too.
Yeah, exactly. Like Tyra done fucked up.
Yeah.
And she should definitely apologize.
Well, no, for sure. And like there's a whole bunch of things that we can get into, which I guess we'll maybe circle back to later. But I wanted to mention the last one, laws in legislation enforcing moral views, with air quotes, given our current political environment at the time of recording this in 2023, mid-2023, the legislation that we're seeing being very nonsensical. Like, there's, I think in...
Like, coming for every little thing.
I think in a, it's either Idaho or Oklahoma banned Pornhub unless they put certain warnings. I think in Texas, at the time of recording this, there's current legislation considering... putting words, basically, if you want a porn site, you must put like a cigarette disclaimer of like, right, this can cause addiction, and this can lead to you losing vital organ or vital fluids.
All of the politicians were like, "Wait, actually, we don't want to do that."
Oh, well, no, but it's like both Republicans and Democrat. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't. That wasn't a snap to like.
Oh no, tell no, you no, no, because like it's a lot of things. It was bipartisan, is what I'm trying to say. Not overwhelmingly bipartisan, because Texas is only, it's pretty red, but.
I think, I don't know if this is the exact thing that you were talking about, but I know I was talking with a partner and saying how, I think it was Utah,
had sounds right.
tried to take Mormons, away like Pornhub's access. And
right.
Pornhub came back.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah, right? We might have talked, like Pornhub came back and was like, hey, look, we... recognize that we are a porn industry, but also like we're the safest that you can get mass access to.
The thing I thought you were talking about was, and I think it was Utah. I wish I had the right information because I'm about to say probably misinformation, which is what we're talking about. But I think it was Utah where they like threatened to get rid of Pornhub, and so Pornhub just pulled all of their website from all of the servers in Utah, and the politicians never got more calls.
Exactly.
And I'm like, okay, Mormons, way to be hypocritical.
And there was also the other aspect of that. Pornhub, you know, went on a few years ago, went on that crackdown about underage videos on there. And Pornhub, I think, was making a statement is like, hey, look, we recognize our position, but at least we have the ability to filter this out.
Yeah.
When you go to other porn sites, you run the risk of that. Right. So you're better off sticking with us to be your... Yeah.
Pornhub also commissioned a bunch of like sex ed videos a few years ago.
Right.
And I just think it's very sad that Pornhub is doing the job that like our schools should be doing.
But don't want to do these
because they... remove the ability of teachers to teach sex ed.
Which goes, I think, into our episode two. Mm-hmm. And it's now, because this applies in so many different ways, but
I know exactly what you're going to say.
You know what I'm going to say is that we are now getting our education about kink, about sex, about all these aspects from social media.
Yep. Yep.
And the beautiful thing,
I learned so much from TikTok.
Is the beautiful thing is that there's a lot of to learn, but the also challenging thing is that there's also a lot to learn, and that can be wrong information.
Yeah. And also learning how to be critical of the information you get is not something we are taught in school. So at a certain point, you have to be like, wait a second, that sounds false. Right. I'm going to do some Googling. But then something else might sound perfectly true, and you start being like, I heard on TikTok or I heard on Instagram.
Yep.
I
mean, gotta fact check everything.
But and it's hard to do that. Because especially if something vibes with your view
your
of the world,
mindset,
then you're just going to be like, double down.
And I'm not even going to talk about like the presentation of that information.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, that affects
a
lot.
Very attractive person who's got a...
Or someone who's really compelling.
Yeah. And can like grip you with the statements. And like, you're going to be like, there's no way this person's lying. Yeah. And they throw in a bunch of like...
Said that you trusted them in the past. Why are you not trusting them now?
So like it goes into the...
Dr. Umar Johnson, I'm looking at you.
Called out for that's a COVID doctor, right?
Oh gosh, no, he's the black Pan African guy who's like super pro black, but he calls himself a doctor, but nobody can say where he got his doctorate from.
Oh wow.
And he also did some like shiesty shit where
he
embezzled money out of like a school that was supposed to be designed for black kids.
Of course,
but we still give him a platform because he's a doctor.
It goes into the thing about the democratization of the platforms, which I think making the platforms accessible for everybody is extremely important, because that means anybody can get a message. Like, it's very important in situations like I was also say the Kony situation, Kony 2015 or back in those days.
Oh my god, 2012.
Kony, yeah. 2012.
Whoa.
Well, but like
flash.
There's a whole move.
It's very
oh my god, I haven't thought about that in so long.
Do you remember the red iPhones? the iPods?
Yo, listeners, if you're not familiar with this,
Google. The Kony 2012 situation was very fucked, because it was the opposite of what people were saying, which is very weird.
Right. Whoa, I'm having a moment of flashing back to conversations I had about that. Oh my gosh. Yeah, but, I mean, like... Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard for something like that to go as viral now, I would say.
Have you seen America?
Okay. I just mean because people are so quick to be critical.
Okay. Oh, fair.
That people would have like realized right away.
It's a scam, yeah.
And like, but I also feel like we've talked about on this podcast before this idea of parasocial relationships. Mm-hmm. And with certain creators on TikTok, for instance, I certainly have developed this like, mm-hmm. you know, love for them, mm-hmm. if you will. This like, you know, like we're obviously not friends, but I'm like, man, we would be really good friends. Or like, I agree so much with everything this person says.
Right.
And when they fuck up, like, I don't know if y'all are familiar with someone named Modern Warrior on TikTok.
I am not.
It's too long of a story to tell on here.
But like, you had a parasocial relationship with him.
I trusted him for the information he was giving out.
Mm-hmm.
He's First Nations Native person in the United States.
Okay.
And then, of course, a white woman came for him, used her white woman tears,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was really mad at him. And then they realized that the white woman was totally bullshitting and everyone was really mad at her, right. But then people were still a little mad at him for a number of reasons, and I lost trust in both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I previously had thought they were pretty cool. I thought they were on the up and up, and then realizing they were normal human beings who fuck up really royally, just like the rest of us do, but they did so with millions of people watching, and I'm feel hurt by this person who doesn't know me.
Well, and just to use this as a moment to transition, like, it's one of the things with platform freedom versus oppression of stuff. Like, when I say oppression, to be very specific, because that word means a lot of things, a lot of different things. When I say oppression, I mean basically by either...
Do you mean suppression?
Suppression.
Okay. Yes.
So when I say oppression, I mean suppression, not oppression.
Okay. I was like, ooh, I think you mean suppression.
Yeah. So, because I mean like suppression of like people being able to like exist. One of the things I mentioned, or I forgot to mention, but I'll mention now, social media is great for finding niches. So you mentioned TikTok, like sex work. It was like finding information about sex ed in general on TikTok is extremely difficult, because TikTok is so strict. Like, if you mention titty or penis or vagina, TikTok will knock your whole entire platform
down. That being
out.
Said, there are some great sexual health educators on TikTok just using code words.
Yeah.
And like, such good information.
Yeah, like using the word corn instead of porn, or using segs instead of sex. And it's like, it's so stupid though, because it's like, this is information everybody should have access to.
It goes back to what Denzel was saying about like where people are getting their sex ed.
Yeah, it's a problem.
and
like, how lucky that we have these platforms, but also like, beware.
Yeah.
Beware, because again, like, as somebody who is pretty frequent on social media, also for like my art stuff, I'm always like judgmental and hesitant about any interaction on there, because I'm like, how doctored is this connection in itself?
Right.
Because there's already nowadays like algorithms that are going to purposely put people and posts and things into your life that continue to further the narrative that you're, you know, living or creating for yourself, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge thing. But also what I was thinking about was, we haven't really talked about, and we might not because we don't have as much information, but like the origins of these sites, like talking about why Instagram doesn't allow titties, but FetLife does. And
right.
it That's goes fair. Back to like, what were the apps created for?
Right. Well,
so it's,
and
it's
we've a talked target. About FetLife's history.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it's a target audience thing. Like I don't know Instagram, but yeah, FetLife was started as a dating site.
Exactly. So, so when we look
stop at, reminding
when
me.
We look at FetLife now, like years later, in all of its forms and all of its goodness, and also the shittiness of it, it's like, if this was supposed to be a dating site, you do the things that it, you have the good, the bad, and the ugly of a dating site.
Yeah, mm-hmm. fully. Yep.
With Instagram, if you were just a site that was supposed to be for galleries and imagery, like, sure. I think like there's a space for nudity in a gallery and imagery? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think Instagram is one of those things, but now it's got the Facebook thing behind
yeah.
it.
I mean,
and
so,
Facebook's got all the morals that Facebook
quote unquote
has.
Morals.
Yeah. yeah. And then on Instagram, just to go into the origin, just from Investopedia, so take us with a grain of salt, if you will. Yeah, Instagram originally started off as a site for photographers to share pictures that they took quickly, but on their mobile devices. So in 2010, October 6, 2010, it racked up 25,000 users in one day. And then, wow. you know, and then eventually the people who made Instagram, according to the internet, they used to work for Google, but then they worked themselves. And then Meta eventually bought them, or Facebook eventually bought them. And yeah.
Go ahead.
And here's another question I'll bring, mm-hmm. and this may be like a talking point, but if we know that, let's say, Instagram, which is like the reason that we have a huge photo-centric world is because Instagram had a major part. Instagram
yeah,
and Facebook.
So
both also Pinterest. Two. Pinterest.
And MySpace. So like mm-hmm. when all three of these things were coming around, like think about the technology of the camera.
Yeah.
Like the actual personal camera.
Terrible.
Terrible because what you could not do
yeah.
was you could not take a nude like you can take a nude today.
Oh my God.
Oh,
think about how so the world has changed in 30 years.
And quality, yeah.
From
yeah.
the quality. We were when we first took pictures of ourselves, we were taking bathroom mirror selfies.
Yes.
Could you imagine trying to do an OnlyFans account with nothing but bathroom mirror selfies? So like,
it would just look different.
Yo, look, Denzel, like, yeah. I kid you not.
I am not paying no $15 for no 64 pixel.
Yo, Denzel, like, look, you said the bathroom mirror, like, I have one bathroom mirror selfie. It's on this website called Bebo. It's a very old school social media site.
I know about Bebo.
It's like it's basically the black people's MySpace back in the days, or black people's Facebook. But like, I had the one photo and everybody loved it because it was like a shirtless photo. I was like, mm-hmm. how strong I am. And then like, it might still be up. I don't know. I need to go find it. Check it out.
So yeah, exactly. I just think about, we're talking about kink in mm-hmm. social media, and I one is to also consider like social media changed so much because mm-hmm. we're able to visualize it.
You're saying it
grew. Yeah.
Changed the world.
Yeah.
In the sense that like it changed even the products, like phones were developed with really good cameras in them.
And because phones developed with really good cameras, yeah. we're now 10 years later able to have something like OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Like do I believe a site like this would exist? Sure, mm-hmm. but it'd be a lot more challenging if everybody was still developing their film.
Yes.
it's like this nude is blurry. It's fine. It's fine.
It's the aesthetic.
It's the aesthetic.
It's the aesthetic.
Well, so speaking of aesthetic, just kind of continuing a slight tangent. There's a meme of like two people in a car, like, you know, it's like comes from a movie, a panel. So two people in a car looking at
each other. I've seen that movie. Really good movie.
Okay.
Nick Cage plays himself.
There you go.
It's genius.
But
in the first Massively Talent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a good movie.
In the first panel, it's like amateurs trying to make their porn content look professional. And then the second panel is like professionals trying to make their porn content look amateur.
Yes. <It's> like, oh, that's so funny.
Which one do y'all like more though?
So
I
have found I love it when professional content looks amateur. I don't know what it is about it. It just feels like I'm more there.
Yeah,
because
you're used to seeing amateur content from people you know.
Maybe that's fair.
Um, Can we talk about OnlyFans now?
Before we do, the freedom. So the freedom, I just want to at least wrap up this note, the freedom of being able to like share and see and find, especially when it comes to niche groups, bringing it back to kink for, or explicitly kink for a second, like finding people who are into blood play, finding people who are into rope, finding people who are into impact and like talking about like, you know, what ball gags do you guys use? Like just having that community. It's like social media, specifically FetLife. And also there's another platform called, I have it over here. Sorry. It's submit.gg is a brand new one that I literally heard about 4 days ago.
That sounds like
it. It sounds terrifying.
I don't like that. I don't know if I want to have an account to that.
Yeah.
I've
reserved my name Warm Orange over
my account.
I've reserved my Warm Orange name over there. But that goes a long way to say that the platforms are becoming more and more ubiquitous.
Swindled.
So it's where people can get access to them and people can get like freely express to a certain degree. And then going into the OnlyFans about the oppression side.
Well, suppression.
Damn, suppression, sorry.
Some people might find it oppressive to be suppressed, but I don't want to glaze over that this conversation we're having, though, because as we've been saying, it's true that you can find a lot of really niche content now, especially because like searching for that is so much easier.
Right.
But the truth is everybody can also find it. So like places like Instagram, where I can sort of curate who I'm following, curate what I post and what hashtags I use. And like my Instagram is public for a few reasons that I'm not going to get into, but like for, but like for the most part, I do block people, but on FetLife, sometimes I'll see a post and I'll be like, whoa, that's really fucked up. And I'll look at the comments and everyone will be like, love this. This is amazing. Yeah. Or I'll see something and I'll be like, this is amazing. And someone will be like, this is fucked up. Like
the whole
racist
spectrum.
Slurs and sexist slurs. And I'm like,
right, the whole spectrum.
Wow, like anybody can be here. Really anybody can comment on this. Like, oh geez. I saw a post the other day from sort of like a well-respected page on Fet.
Right.
It was a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll describe the picture. It was a black man tied to a wall, two white women painting him white. And I was like, immediately, I was like, this is not okay.
Is it just like were they painting a design or painting him?
Nope, they were painting his whole body white. Oh. And so like up to his like mid-belly, he was all white from his feet up. And I looked at the comments and everyone was like, what a stellar image. Like, what a shocking image. Like, love this. Like, love everything coming out of this page. And I commented like,
yikes,
I think this is anti-blackness. Like, I'm like, maybe, because I'm not very good at art. I'm not very art literate. So I was like, maybe I missed something. So I said like, did I miss something? Or is this like super anti-black?
I mean, it could be primer.
I mean, hopefully. All I know is that
I was freaked out. I was like, everyone else was commenting so in the positive, and I was like, did I miss something really big in this image?
That's FetLife nonsense, right?
It is. It is FetLife nonsense. Life, I'll show y'all the picture after this. After we're done recording today, because.
Well, no, but Denzel, what's your take on that one? Because so to me, that one sounded like bodyguard, but I was like, the more you explain it, the more I'm like,
that sounds like some racist shit.
So like
some,
it felt really racist to me, and I'm a white woman.
I mean, like, would I do that? No,
I
wouldn't do that. Just wouldn't be in my realm. Like, I'm tied to a wall, and I'm getting painted, and you're only going to paint my lower half?
Oh, they were painting the whole body. The implication of the image was that he was being painted completely white. Right. They had only reached his lower half.
See, even still, if that's the image, I'm saying that the image exists where it stops right there, and that's the sexualized portion.
That's a good point.
Because, I mean, we know on FetLife.
See, this is like my art literacy.
And, you know, I think what I was going to say about FetLife and about this in general is that I like the terms community versus society. And we might have talked about this on the podcast.
Orange is like, I'm listening. Tell me more. It's a distinction.
Yeah.
But like, you know, a society is everybody who you are in relationship with by proximity, by mutual things that exist that are outside of your control. Whereas a community more leans into the people that you're choosing. Okay. So when you say like you, like if we have, I look at Twitter as being a social media.
A dumpster fire.
That too. But it's like Twitter's a social media site. You can be very social with the entire society.
Mm-hmm.
But if you decide to say that, you know what, I'm going to make my account private, you've now said, society, you don't get access to me unless I accept you into my community.
Fair.
And I think when we look at FetLife, that's why we have the option of followers or just friends.
Oh, for
like,
for
do
you.
I want everybody to see this?
Yeah.
But I think that's also like, when we think about society as a whole, like as we're moving through society just every day with feet, stepping, walking, rolling, whatever mode of transportation we use to get around, we have no agency over who we interact with in society.
So there's a particular needle to thread in that one, because I can see that as being a boon and also a bust or the opposite of a boon.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's because, both of them, because
so some people say we want to exist in the marketplace of ideas. It's okay. The marketplace of ideas is, I think this lube is good and you think that lube is good. The marketplace of ideas is not trans people should not exist. That's not the marketplace of ideas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is genocide. Stop it. So going into
that's like the difference between expressing an opinion and being like racist.
Being racist or dumb. And like people,
racism is not an opinion.
Some people try to use that on the internet though as like the marketplace of ideas. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to block this person.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's not healthy for me.
Yeah. And I think like it's unfortunate that anything can go into the marketplace, because we live in a world where anything can sell. And that fucking sucks.
You're right.
Because we're like, why would you want to sell that as a product or that as an idea?
Right.
But there's still people who sell it and there's still people who buy it. It's also like, what can we do to make sure that when we're engaging on social media, that we still do have a grounding and a breadth and a space in our own community, so we're not just in the ether of the public domain and the marketplace of ideas? Because that's not can you find stability in that place on the internet?
So you can't. I think some people don't have the willpower to do it. I forget the Fat Life person, and I can probably find if I really tried. I'm not going to name them or anything, or wasn't planning on, but they had a picture and it was a black male, a black strong dude looking person, and they were having sex with their partner who was a white woman. And I saw the picture. I was like, oh no, it's going to be one of those. So I clicked on it. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I don't see any alarming tags like BBC or BWC or whatever. And then I clicked on the profile, and the top line of the profile says, never refer to me as BBC. I'm not your BBC. BBC. I'm not this. And it's like the BBC Big Black Cock. It's like, you know, it's kind of treating the person like an object. And it's like that is a person who knows what they appear to be and knows what they might be having advantage with, and their partners might like them for that. But they set the line. They set their standards by saying no. But that person has the willpower to fight that fight. And I think there's some people who just want to go with the flow.
Sad is that they have to say that, because if they didn't say that, then they would get called that constantly.
Oh, and their comments. Like,
and
people would think it was
a compliment.
The comments were devoid of any like reference to colors or race or anything like that. Wow. I was like, this is, why can't we have more of this? Because some people like say, well, I can't help. I'm a black guy who wants to do the thing. It's like, yes, you can.
By the way, I went to that profile
because
I was interested in showing you two the picture.
Oh, the painting one?
Of the black man being painted white. Mm-hmm. The picture is gone.
Oh, surprise.
And that's another aspect of social media, y'all. The erasure of evidence.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, because I commented on it being like, this feels like anti-blackness to me.
Right.
On the one hand, I would have liked them to respond.
Right.
And say like, we're now aware of this, or like,
right,
this is actually our intention. I never got a response from them.
It's the now you know better, now you do better.
Right. So my question is, did they delete because they were embarrassed, or did they delete because they realized something? And
probably because the comments got too hot.
I mean,
well, I didn't. I wish I'd gone back to see the comments after, because I'm I don't know.
See, you want the other half of that interaction.
I at least want to know what they're like. I want to know the reaction.
So you want the other half of that conversation.
I also was curious. I was like, what am I missing here?
It also goes into the freedom of it too. Like I said, we're getting a little bit into the weeds with the comment specific, but like it goes into like the sometimes you won't be able to find resolution,
right?
And like that's the unfortunate reality of social media.
Yeah, you have to accept non-closure
because we can easily detach from social media.
And like, I'm no stranger to deleting comments and blocking people because people say some fucked up shit on my stuff. And also people, like, I've never been fully doxxed, but I had people like post my name in private groups for people to go harass me. And like I am no stranger to the block button and no stranger to the delete button because I get messages or like comments from people that I think are fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also people think I owe them conversation.
It also goes into like the kink in the digital age part. Like I didn't add it to the notes or I didn't think about it that much, but like just for the two of y'all, like, so for me, like if I ever get exposed with air quotes, like my workplace is like HR is pretty robust. So like I'm fine. But also I have the aspect of being a male person in society. Or a male identifying person. So like there's less stigma attached to it. Whereas I have a, one of my partners, like if anything ever came about her being involved in the kink community, like she would not be able to get a job.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's distressing because it's like, why is it like that? And also I think people who might end up being predators or perpetrators know that. And they use it to their advantage, especially if they're a male person or male identifying person going after a femme or female identifying person. Or non-binary person.
It's just another way of social control and to show people that they're not, that they're vulnerable.
And the thing that brings it again all to the fold is that no matter when we look at social medias as these grand platforms that have changed the world and changed lives, like they were still made by people.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we still... Like for all that FetLife is, it's still like the idea of one man. And no matter like that is still what
whispers.
One man on a task to find the best Canadian woman out there. John Baku in
the life
of Fet.
Nonsense edition. No,
I just want a girl.
I just want a kinky Canadian and girlfriend.
I want to play with feet.
Just a shout out, like John, if you're listening, we mean every word we just said.
But I think back to like all the times they're despite what they become when they enter the world, when they enter that marketplace, whenever it is, it becomes a huge thing. But when they're creating it, it's what they want it to be.
Yeah, that's
and that's what really sits at the core of it all. So no matter what we want to change,
right?
Other times it's like if the core and the intention of this site was to be this thing, and even though it's evolved and we all feel that you should probably be leaning in this direction.
Right.
If that core is still like, I know we should be, but at the core, we're still this.
Well, it also bleeds into like another idea of like, you know, some people say that we need to radically look at, or so we need to look at how we do technology in general differently, because technology, like if you look at facial recognition, a very famous case, or I think it was either Google or Microsoft, probably Microsoft, people who are Asian, are people who had specific eye types, typically people who are Asian or from the Eastern areas. They had trouble, like facial recognition would not work for them for the first generation because it was made by a bunch of white dudes that didn't consider different eye shapes.
Well, unconscious bias is a huge problem in technology.
Unconscious bias, yeah.
And like even some like virtual assistants won't listen when higher pitched, so femme voices are asking them to do things.
Wow.
Until a deeper mask male voice asks them to do something.
Hey,
that's some BS.
Can you tell me?
Also, and just like think about this for a second. I think we might have talked about this before, but all of our virtual assistants are women, unless you change them.
Yeah.
So like people are getting used to going like holding their phone up to their face and being like, tell me this thing, do like this thing for me.
Yeah.
Even,
it's like a secretary.
Yeah. But, but none of them are ever men because men are uncomfortable ordering other men around.
I would love to put my voice on a phone.
Yeah.
I would love to have your voice on a phone.
Oh my God.
I would be very down right. for you to be my Alexa. That would be fine with me.
Yes.
Good morning. 7:32.
Be like, Denzel, what's the weather like today?
The weather is wet.
I know.
It's, oh, wow. And looks like we're in for some rain.
Expecting of showers, and there will be space to put stuff in butt later on.
Oh my gosh, we have a reference on the wall.
It's such a weird thing for my weather app to tell me, but okay.
But
like, I trust it.
I guess
it.
I'll just pack my umbrella.
Yeah.
But like, I also have like another, like, I guess, area to focus on, because I guess I don't want to end on too much of a downer note with.
We've got about 15 minutes existence left. Of our go world. For it.
But just like the facilitation of kink through digital. So like long distance relationship, this is like sort of drastically different from what we were just talking about. Long distance relationships, going to classes, being able to express your kink. If you're an exhibitionist, you have an audience
mm-hmm.
built in, specifically for a place like FetLife. If you're going to places like Instagram or OnlyFans or any other place, I know Instagram and OnlyFans are two different target audiences, allegedly.
But you're saying you have to build your audience.
We have to build your audience. You can also cross.
To some
cross,
extent, you have to build your audience on Fed as well. But.
Also, Twitter. I forgot about so Twitter, for as shitty as it is, still shitty and getting shittier. for as shitty as it is, like, you can exist as a sex worker openly, whereas other platforms true. Like Mastodon is one that people are going to. Other platforms, Blue Sky or Blue Ski, whatever you pronounce that. Those other platforms, I don't know if they're alive by the time you guys hear this, but they're trying to curate stuff. Like Blueski was the bigger challenger that I've heard of recently from Twitter against Twitter, and they specifically stated, because they took it to the community, hey, do you guys want porn, yes or no? And they said no, so therefore they're enforcing no explicit content. So it's like, that's not sex worker friendly, but sex workers are what built these platforms, like Twitter and like Tumblr and like other stuff. Like, if it wasn't for sex workers,
I was just things. Reminiscing about
even PayPal was built by sex workers.
That's true. What was I going to say about
like shunning sex work from platforms?
You were saying these platforms are, in a way, they're great because you can access things you couldn't access in person. So like COVID really showed us that we could do classes online.
Yeah.
It's quite sad to me, actually. And I know it's quite sad to the disabled community or disabled activist community that like, we've really transitioned back into mostly in-person classes. And the truth is, like, it's not like anyone doesn't get why that's happening. It's just quite sad.
They're going to treat the pandemic like a hiccup.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was quite nice when you could take classes online, and the connections I've made, either through these virtual classes or, like, seminars and webinars that I wouldn't have been able to take, even like conferences you can go to online and you can learn about kink, or I mean, you can learn about anything. You can,
there were
so many things, but you can really learn about, like subjects in kink that you didn't get access to prior to things like social media.
It's something that I learned about recently. So I've talked about, I always talk glancingly, but never extensively, about the sex wars back in the days. But, the main thing is like activists being, for events, like, you know, trying to fight for the existence for sex workers to exist, or for sex workers to exist, or for trans rights or lesbian rights or gay rights, whatever, all the things, LGBTQ plus rights in general. At those events, one thing I was mentioned as a side, like in the background, like, yeah, there's a lot of relationships foreign out of that. You know, you go to a protest, you find somebody, they're protesting the same thing you're doing, you fancy them, they fancy you, you end up dating, and then you have like this holy matrimony, whatever. But that can also happen in the digital age too. Like, you can go to a digital event, really connect with somebody, especially other content creators, and collaborate with them. I'm not saying you'll form like a relationship, either sexual or romantic, but just a working relationship.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that digital and social media and like platforms like Spotify and podcast places.
I was just gonna say, allowed. Like, we're a podcast.
Yeah, we're a podcast.
And we at the end of every episode, we list our social media and where you can reach us. And we exist on every podcasting platform I can think of. I mean, that's
a thing.
And we post, you know, like, we post on social media about the podcast, and The podcast has a presence on social media. And
yeah.
Like, how great is that? Yeah, right? I love that.
I mean, and like, is this tooting our horns in a way with like the affection and the love and the welcomeness from our community for the podcast in itself is like a great feeling as well, because it's a, it's an acknowledgement of something that we do on a digital platform that also has an effect on us in real life. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I love it when people are like, oh yeah, I heard y'all talking about that. And I'm like, wow, now like I'm able to engage even further in something that I was doing on the digital. And I wanted to say one thing that you were talking about is like just how relationships, both platonic, business, and romantic are evolving with technology, specifically the media aspect of it. Is there is a HBO documentary I think I watched called like, it was either Life After VR or My Life in VR. And it talked about virtual reality. Okay. And if y'all think that social media is out here changing the game, in this documentary, I won't give up all of it, but there was a community of online exotic dancers.
Wow.
Oh, neat.
Who met and two people who shared virtual digital space eventually got married from,
oh my gosh,
from being in a virtual world and then eventually taking that virtual into the physical. So
the virtual reality is so close to reality sometimes.
I'm telling you, when I have some VR porn,
it already exists.
I'm saying wait till I get like the setup and the equipment.
Oh, you want to make it?
Absolutely.
You just get a GoPro.
Okay. I need
my dude. No. You just need a GoPro. Yeah,
I want the full tracking.
You need
suit.
A GoPro.
I need to grow
for your head, and you need one for like around your hips.
Well, no, I think Denzel, like, do you want to be like a model in it? Like, as in one of the models moving around?
Yeah, I want like the full tracking suit.
Okay.
Like with haptic feedback.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, you okay?
I want to like, yeah. Either way,
like, put me in coach.
Put me in the matrix.
I love that.
Put me in the matrix. But either way, because you know what I would like to do? I would like for my porn to exist in places that are a side of Fet Life and OnlyFans.
Well, but go, a beautiful thing to say. You know,
going into the
fans.
Sorry, I feel like I ruined a whole moment. I'll say I'm digging back into the virtual reality part because like Rec Room, that's what it's called. Rec Room. So there's another podcast, people.
There are no other podcasts except for this one.
There are no other podcasts except for us, exactly.
But if there's
another
podcast. If you listen to anything else, it's a lie.
I've never heard of any other podcast.
It's actually just us three in different voices.
There's another comedy podcast, which I will not name, but they talked about virtual reality stuff. And they talked about like people like, would go like make a Kmart. They'll make a Kmart. There's like a Kmart VR world where you just go to different Kmarts and then people really go hardcore in role playing and upkeeping it and all this other stuff.
Yes.
And then there's people get married in VR. There's people who might have a lifelong disability.
I will say though, like,
you can do a whole bunch of stuff.
I read a tech article the other day that said like the popularity of VR is actually waning now. Like,
oh no.
Everyone thought it was going to be this like promising thing. And like,
I mean, COVID.
The truth is when people get VR, they're really excited at first and then they do lose interest.
You know what it is though?
Fair.
I think part of it is the technology is not as accessible. Like if we could do VR the same way we did this, like
on cell phones,
30 years ago, people were like, the internet?
Yeah,
the
maybe
fuck?
It just has to get better.
Even podcasts, like being broadcasting was, it still is expensive, but with technological advances, like the thing I'm gesturing towards, like it makes it easier. It doesn't make it more accessible because it still costs $900, but it makes it easier.
Right.
So yeah, if and when the day comes where it does, and then
Open to it.
Oh,
I'm
what?
Very open to
I
it.
I can't wait to like be a hot ass anime character just existing in a VR world.
But Denzel,
with tentacles coming out of my locks.
Now I'm
Denzel,
there.
Denzel, I'm
there
telling you.
I think we should write some erotica about that.
Well, no, but
it can
both,
exist now.
But to both Denzel and Mango, and also everybody listening, I'm saying that reaction to Mango saying, you know, is dying, but tentacle porn, I'm telling you, sex work built platforms.
Yeah, I'm not denying that.
There's the word.
There is something wholesome I'd like to say, relating back to this idea of Denzel was talking about like these connections we make and how talking in person with people about the podcast feels like so affirming.
Yeah.
And I have a really close friend out in California who's newish to kink, and she's basically binged our podcast. Woo! She loves it, so shout out to her. Mm-hmm. You'll know who she'll know we're talking about her. Mm-hmm. And she recently went to a play party and was doing the like tour of the place with the person.
Right.
And her friend was there with her, and her friend was like, "What is that? I don't know what that means." And my friend was just like, "Oh, I know all of this because of the podcast."
Yeah.
Like, I'm basically an expert. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I know we have niche content and, you know, we're a newer podcast, but like, we're reaching people. And like, meaningfully reaching people. And that's just honestly such a good fucking feeling.
But also with like useful information too.
Yeah.
And like, it's a challenge. Well, I was gonna say it's a challenge because when Denzel brought up the thing, is like, I got to remember what I said. Like, I it's easier for me to just be myself than for me to pretend who I'm not. Because yeah. if somebody reaches me, I was like, "Oh, I remember podcast episode one or season one episode three, blah." I was like, "I don't remember what I said, but if I know me, I probably would have said this." And yeah. I was like, "Oh yeah, you said that." I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah, like people will track words, yep. And I'm like, "Wait a minute." So, and I think. When as we're talking about this, my mind is jumping back to the idea of like mm-hmm. social media, social technology all being a form of information.
Right.
Right. Mm. Like it's all about giving information. And for us each week, like we don't talk about the work that goes into it, mm-hmm. but like we're very conscious of what we're saying, how we're saying it.
Yeah.
And I think that is... We have the platform of the podcast to do that, but everybody has the platform of social media if you have social media. So the same way that we're cautious about what we're saying,
yeah.
who we're bringing on,
mm-hmm.
what thing we're going to advertise or promote if we do those things, like right. all that goes into, like thought goes into all that before we press the post button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm encouraging all of our listeners, as you interact in this social media savvy world, that you really just consider what you're about to post before you post it.
Yeah.
And if you are reading a post, don't read two more posts from somebody else mm-hmm. that may counter what you just read.
Yeah.
Right.
You need a second opinion. Don't be afraid of the second opinion.
Unless
the first opinion was just racism.
Well, yeah.
Then you can discount that opinion.
Right. And also,
a second opinion on racism.
Second opinion. I didn't like that part.
You know, I didn't like it either.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm telling you, the block button is right there and it's free.
Sorry,
this is so random. I remember there was one person on Fet. I don't remember who it was. They said FetLife should make it cost money to block people. I'm like, who
let this person on the internet?
Yeah, I was about to say that person been blocked.
Who let this person on the internet? On this internet, on John Bacchio's internet.
I was just gonna say, my brother in Christ, that is not acceptable.
No, it just randomly jumped to my head. I just wanted to publicly shame that.
Thank you for publicly shaming that. I mean, so as I said at the beginning, social media is a beautiful and terrible thing, and it really is just a tool in the hands of its users.
Yep.
And people are both wonderful and terrible in equal measure, or maybe not equal measure, but...
Well, various measures.
Yeah, various measures.
This is pretty close.
I was going to say, I mean, this is a much longer conversation, but I believe that man is... is intrinsically evil rather than intrinsically good.
I mean, I'm saying
but that's just a much longer conversation.
90-minute episode.
What is evil?
See, this is why we're not going to do that today.
What is?
No, I'm
sorry.
What
in the butt?
Of course you would put the butt.
I'm sorry. That's not my... That was you'll remember what in the butt.
Nope.
I've never in my entire life. No, you've heard the what in the butt.
What?
Oh, I've heard that too.
From Malcolmore, but...
No, I'm supposed to mess with you. Yeah, I've heard
leave it.
Okay. In our last minute... Any final thoughts on kink in the digital age?
I would like to say that kink in the digital age, if you reverse it, spells dick. Digital and kink Or no. Oh, damn. No, I can't spell it. Wait.
Dia?
Dia. Kid? Dia? I don't think you want to say that.
No. Okay. I was going to say.
Kink in digital?
No, reverse it. Digital in age kink. Okay.
This has gone really well for you, Warren.
I tried. Yeah. I tried.
I would say, warning, any institution that would like to...
Stop it!
You know what? You know,
I'm glad we covered that.
That phrase... Not- That phrase nonsense. Should go on par with we're trying to reach you regarding your car's extended warranty. Like,
I love it.
For listeners who don't know, on the grand social media app, FetLife, one of the things that we covered in a previous episode, was that FetLife Nonsense?
It was FetLife Nonsense.
Yeah, FetLife Nonsense. We addressed just how...
The nonsense disclaimer.
Yeah, the nonsense disclaimer that you put in your profile. So again,
don't do that.
Saying all that to say, be mindful of what you post on the internet.
Yeah.
I mean,
even if you think that nobody has access to it, if you put it out into the world, the world has its hands on it.
Yeah.
Okay. One last tangent note. I know we're not going to a 90-minute episode, but I was going to say, if you don't want people to see your profile, make it private and like understand. But I'm not going to be able to see stuff. You gotta pick your battles.
Yeah. Cash 22.
Okay. Yeah. Privacy is another conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, you can find us on social media, on Instagram at Taking in the Scene Podcast, on Gmail at takinginthescenepodcast@gmail.com, mm-hmm. and on Fet at Taking in the Scene. Denzel, would you like to take us out?
Follow me. Swallow me. Hollow me.